Have you ever looked at the back of a jet engine and thought, what if the only thing coming out of there was water? Not a hypothetical, not a lab experiment, a real engine bolted to a real airplane running on hydrogen. I'm Vector on Clear Direct, Radio Hangar's Technology Deep Dive, and today we're talking about ZeroAvia and their bet that hydrogen electric propulsion isn't just possible, it's inevitable. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. If you've earned a milestone in your flying career, first solo, instrument rating, CFI, they make challenge coins that actually look the part. Beautifully crafted, built to last. Check them out at aviationsoul.com. So let's break this down, because hydrogen propulsion in aviation is one of those topics where the hype and the engineering are in a constant tug of war. And ZeroAvia is the company right in the middle of that rope. ZeroAvia is a California and UK-based startup founded in 2017 by Val Miftikoff, who's a physicist and serial entrepreneur. Their core idea is deceptively simple. Take hydrogen, run it through a proton exchange membrane fuel cell, generate electricity, and use that electricity to spin a propeller. No combustion, no carbon dioxide. The exhaust is literally water vapor. Now, before you roll your eyes and say, yeah, I've heard this story before, hear me out, because ZeroAvia has actually flown hardware. In September of 2020, they flew a modified Piper Malibu, a six-seat airplane, powered entirely by their hydrogen electric drivetrain. That made them one of the first companies in the world to fly a commercial-scale aircraft on hydrogen fuel cells. Then, in January of 2023, they flew a 19-seat Dornier 228 twin-engine aircraft with one of the two engines replaced by their 600-kilowatt hydrogen-electric powertrain. That's not a drone. That's not a scale model. That's a real commuter airplane with one engine running on hydrogen and the other on conventional fuel as a safety backup. So, the technology works. The question, and it's a big one, is whether it can scale. Let's talk about the engine itself, because this is where it gets interesting from a systems perspective. ZeroAvia calls their powertrain the ZA600 and the ZA2000. The numbers refer roughly to the kilowatt class. The ZA600 is designed for aircraft in the 9 to 19 seat category. Think your Twin Otters, your Cessna Caravans, your Dornier 228s. Regional commuters, the ZA2000 is the bigger brother, targeting 40 to 80 seat regional aircraft. That's ATR territory. That's the aircraft that connects small cities to hubs. The powertrain is a fuel cell stack paired with electric motors. Hydrogen is stored in gaseous or liquid form in tanks, fed into the fuel cells, and the fuel cells convert chemical energy directly into electricity through an electrochemical reaction. No moving parts in the fuel cell itself, no combustion chamber, no turbine blades. The electricity drives the motors spin the props. Here's what most people miss about why this architecture matters. A fuel cell is roughly 50 to 60% efficient at converting fuel energy to electricity. A gas turbine, the kind of engine in a turboprop, is maybe 25 to 35% thermally efficient. So even before you factor in the environmental argument, hydrogen fuel cells are fundamentally more efficient at turning stored energy into shaft power. That's not marketing. That's thermodynamics. But, and this is a big but, hydrogen has a storage problem. By weight, hydrogen is extraordinary. 1 kilogram of hydrogen contains about 3 times the energy of 1 kilogram of jet fuel. Sounds amazing, right? The catch is volume. Hydrogen is the lightest element in the universe, which means even when you compress it to 700 bar, which is about 10,000 pounds per square inch, it takes up roughly 4 times the volume of jet fuel for the same energy content. If you go with liquid hydrogen, you get better density. But now you need cryogenic tanks that keep the fuel at minus 253 degrees Celsius. That's just 20 degrees above absolute zero. Those tanks are heavy, complex, and expensive. So the airplane designer faces a real trade-off. You're saving weight on the fuel itself, but you're adding weight and volume with the storage system. For short-range regional flights, say 200 to 500 nautical miles, the math works. The tanks are manageable, the fuel cell stack fits in the nacelle, the range is sufficient. For long haul, we're not there yet, and ZeroAvia is honest about this, which I respect. They're not claiming they'll replace the engines on a 787. They're saying, let's start with the missions where hydrogen makes sense right now and build from there. And those missions are bigger than you might think. According to data from the International Council on Clean Transportation, flights under 500 nautical miles account for roughly half of all commercial departures worldwide. Not half of the passenger miles, mind you, but half of the flights. That's an enormous number of takeoffs and landings, and it's exactly the segment where hydrogen electric could make the deepest cut in emissions. Now let's talk about the practical side, because it's one thing to build an engine that runs on hydrogen. It's another thing entirely to build the infrastructure to fuel it. This is where I think ZeroAvia deserves credit for thinking about the whole system, not just the powertrain. They've been working on hydrogen production and distribution partnerships. The idea is modular hydrogen production at airports. You can generate hydrogen on site using electrolyzers powered by renewable electricity, Water in, hydrogen out, powered by solar or wind, no tanker trucks needed, no pipelines, just electricity and water. Is that simple? No. Electrolyzers are expensive. Green hydrogen, meaning hydrogen made from renewable energy rather than natural gas, currently costs somewhere between $4 and $8 per kilogram depending on your electricity source. Jet fuel, for comparison, costs roughly equivalent to about $1 to $2 per kilogram on an energy equivalent basis. So green hydrogen is still more expensive, but the gap is closing, and several governments, the European Union in particular, are pouring billions into hydrogen infrastructure subsidies. ZeroAvia has raised over $150 million in funding from investors that include Alaska Airlines, American Airlines, United Airlines, and Airbus. When major airlines are writing checks, that tells you something. These aren't venture capitalists chasing buzzwords. These are operators who buy fuel by the millions of gallons and are staring down increasingly strict emissions regulations. The company's stated timeline is to have a commercially certified 9 to 19-seat hydrogen electric powertrain by 2027, with the larger 40 to 80-seat system following a few years later. Now, if you've been paying attention to aviation certification timelines, you know that date will almost certainly slip. The FAA and EASA have never certified a hydrogen fuel cell propulsion system for commercial passenger service. The certification basis doesn't fully exist yet. ZeroAvia is working with regulators to essentially write the rules as they go, which is both necessary and time-consuming. Let me give you a sense of the regulatory challenge. Under current Part 25 and Part 23 regulations, there are no established standards for hydrogen fuel storage in aircraft. There are no approved means of compliance for fuel cell stack failure modes. What happens if a fuel cell membrane degrades mid-flight? What are the acceptable leak rates for high-pressure hydrogen in an enclosed nacelle? How do you handle the thermal management of a cryogenic system in turbulence? These aren't unsolvable problems, but each one requires testing, data, and regulatory review that takes time. The data tells an interesting story when you compare ZeroAvia to the other approaches in the zero-emission space. Battery electric aircraft, like those from companies that have been building smaller designs, face a fundamental energy density wall. Current lithium-ion batteries store about 250 watt-hours per kilogram. Jet fuel stores about 12,000 watt-hours per kilogram. Hydrogen fuel cells land somewhere in between. And when you factor in the higher efficiency of the fuel cell, the effective energy density gets even more competitive. That's why I think hydrogen electric occupies a sweet spot that batteries can't reach, and that sustainable aviation fuel doesn't fully address SAF. Sustainable aviation fuel reduces life cycle carbon emissions but still produces carbon dioxide at the point of combustion. Hydrogen fuel cells produce zero carbon dioxide in flight, zero nitrogen oxides, zero particulates. Just water. There's another angle here that doesn't get enough attention. Noise. Electric motors are dramatically quieter than turbine engines. A hydrogen electric Cessna Caravan or Twin Otter operating out of a regional airport could reduce noise footprints by orders of magnitude. That matters. Noise restrictions are one of the biggest barriers to expanding regional air service in populated areas. If you can cut the noise signature of a 19-seat commuter by 70 or 80%, airports that currently have curfews or flight restrictions could potentially open up to more service. That's a revenue argument, not just an environmental one. Now, I want to be fair about the risks because I think intellectual honesty matters more than cheerleading. First, hydrogen is flammable. Obviously, it's the same element that powered the Saturn V rocket. Now it disperses rapidly in open air, which actually makes it less dangerous than pooling liquid fuels in some scenarios. But the safety case for storing high-pressure hydrogen in an aircraft right next to passengers is going to be scrutinized intensely. And it should be. Second, the weight penalty of the fuel cell stack itself is significant. Current aviation-grade fuel cells have a specific power of about 1 to 2 kilowatts per kilogram. A conventional turboprop engine can achieve 5 to 7 kilowatts per kilogram. So the fuel cell powertrain is heavier per unit of power. ZeroAvia is working to improve this, and next-generation fuel cell technology using advanced membrane materials and lighter bipolar plates should help, but it's a real gap today. Third, durability. Fuel cell stacks degrade over time. Membrane degradation, catalyst poisoning, water management issues. Current automotive fuel cells are designed for 5,000 to 10,000 hours of operation. That sounds like a lot until you realize a commercial turboprop engine might go between overhauls at 3,500 hours, but with a total service life measured in tens of thousands of hours across multiple overhauls. Can a fuel cell stack be overhauled the same way? That's an open question. Fourth, the chicken and egg problem with infrastructure. Airlines won't commit to hydrogen aircraft without hydrogen fueling at their airports. Airports won't invest in hydrogen infrastructure without committed aircraft operators. Someone has to go first. And right now, the early movers are taking on real financial risk. Despite all of that, I keep coming back to the physics. Hydrogen has more energy per kilogram than any chemical fuel we know. Fuel cells are more efficient than heat engines. Electric motors are simpler, lighter per unit of torque, and more reliable than turbines. The pieces fit. The engineering challenges are real, but they're engineering challenges, not violations of physical law. Compare that to battery electric flight, where the energy density problem is a materials science problem that has improved maybe 5 to 8% per year for decades. Even optimistic projections don't put batteries anywhere close to jet fuel energy density this century. Hydrogen fuel cells don't have that ceiling. ZeroAvia isn't the only player in this space. Airbus has its ZeroE program targeting hydrogen combustion and fuel cell hybrid architectures for larger aircraft by 2035. Universal Hydrogen, before they shut down operations, was working on modular hydrogen capsule distribution. H2FLY, a German company, flew a liquid hydrogen fuel cell aircraft in 2023. But ZeroAvia has arguably the most credible near-term path to certification because they're focused on the retrofit market. They're not designing a new airplane from scratch. They're building a powertrain that drops into existing airframes. That's a smarter regulatory and business strategy because the aircraft itself is already certified. You're only certifying the new propulsion system. If ZeroAvia hits their targets, even a few years late, we could see the first hydrogen electric commercial passenger flights on short regional routes by the end of this decade. 9-seat island hoppers, 19-seat commuter runs, the kinds of flights that are currently marginal for airlines because fuel costs eat the thin margins on short hops. Hydrogen could flip that economics, and that's the thing that excites me most. This isn't just about saving the planet, although that matters, it's about enabling a category of air service that the current economics don't support. Imagine 50-seat hydrogen electric turboprops connecting small cities that lost their airline service 20 years ago. The operating costs could be dramatically lower. The noise footprint lets you fly into airports that jets can't touch. The emissions profile satisfies even the most aggressive regulatory regimes. That's not science fiction, that's engineering on a timeline. The reporting behind this segment draws from ZeroAvia's published technical papers, the International Council on Clean Transportation's analysis on short-haul aviation emissions, and coverage from Aviation Week and Flight Global. You can find more at radiohanger.com. I'm Vector, clear direct. Go learn how something works today.